That is the sound of a monsoon thunderstorm unleashing a downpour over Phoenix last summer. Most of the rain you're hearing just flowed into the street and evaporated. Think about that. With all the headlines we've been hearing lately about droughts and heat waves and levels dropping at reservoirs like Lake Mead, what if we did something with all that rainwater? Well, back in July, in the city of Tucson, I met a few people doing exactly that.
Punch these tanks, you can feel it, that it's all full of water.
This is Evaristo Ramirez Barajas, barefoot in his backyard.
Oh, yeah.
So this is 1,000 gallons of water collected by the rain. It's been like not a good season for Tucson. We've been struggling with this monsoon a lot, but even that, we still have water.
So you're saying this is a 1,000-gallon tank. It's full. I'm slapping it and I can feel it. But you're also saying it hasn't rained much.
Exactly.
When Barajas invited me over, it was 105 degrees outside. People across the country were baking under heat advisories. But his yard was so shaded and lush with mesquite trees and cactus.
These cactus they call like Oregon pie cactus. And this guy has been growing crazy.
That it didn't feel hot at all.
This is a plant that grows in Tucson and everywhere. It's very smelly.
Creosote.
Creosote, yeah. Gobernadora, we call it in Espanol. When it rains in Tucson in Arizona, this is the first smell you get. And it's beauty.
All these plants get a boost from his watering system. When it rains, the water goes from the roof into a gutter that leads to a tank. At the bottom, there's a faucet with a hose.
Right now, I'm opening the hose here. So this is water from the rain.
It's also a way that Barajas makes money. He's part of a small company called the Tucson Rainwater Harvesting Co-op. He and other members have been installing tanks for a few years now, and the drought has been pretty good for business. His colleague, Cecilio Ortiz, joined our conversation in the backyard.
Ayer tuve un meeting con un grupo de la...
So he's explained that he went to a meeting with the city people, and they say that there was a lot of interest in from the community. And what the city offer right now is like $1 for a gallon. So it's a good investment for your house and the city of Tucson.
When they say the city is offering $1 for a gallon, they're referring to Tucson's rainwater harvesting rebate. Buy a 1,000-gallon tank and $1,000 comes back to you.
I think the potential is huge.
That's James McAdam with the city's water department.
I think about Australia. Parts of Australia, which 15 years ago, rainwater harvesting was illegal. And then they underwent a massive drought. And now it's mandatory in a lot of the cities.
90% of Tucson's water comes from the Colorado River. Harvested rainwater is literally a drop in the bucket. But McAdam says homeowners with a rain tank save about a month's worth of city water every year on average. That's not going to solve a water crisis, but McAdam says that as the climate gets hotter and drier, harvesting the rain will play a bigger role.
Because it's one of our largest untapped sources of water, and it's very high quality water.
And with each month of a 22-year drought, the need gets more urgent. In June, federal officials warned states that use the Colorado River to get serious about cutting back. And Arizona's legislature just approved spending $1 billion to find new sources of water. Some of that money will support rain harvesting, which is something that Brad Lancaster spends his life thinking about. Lancaster lives a few blocks from downtown, but walk through his front gate and it doesn't feel like the city.
I share this property with my brother and his family, so there's four of us on this eighth of an acre. So when we moved here, it was pretty much, I'd say 95% vacant, meaning there wasn't vegetation already growing.
Dirt lot?
Yeah, dirt lot, and then there was the house. So that was pretty bleak, yet a wonderful neighborhood. But as we talked to a number of our neighbors and introduced ourselves, and we asked each other, what do we want as a neighborhood? Everyone wanted more life. They wanted more interaction. So we said, what about trees? Would that work as more life?
That was in the mid-1990s. In the summer, it would rain so hard that the water would rush down their street like an ephemeral creek. So Lancaster and his neighbors started diverting the deluge. They even illegally cut into the curb to redirect the water onto their new trees.
by the way, the city does know by this point that
they know.
They know you very well.
Yes, and I really shouldn't say it was illegal. It was actually pre-legal. And we were just doing a pilot project. Unofficial at that point, but it soon became official when we approached the city and asked if we could make this a legal process.
So all the water that was getting wasted running down the street gets diverted here.
Yeah, and it's a 180 degree flip from what it was. Because in the past, when we first moved to the property, we contributed to that river in the street because the water that fell on our roof and our yard was being discharged into the street. We were part of the flooding problem.
Not anymore. After years of work, Lancaster's entire street is covered with mature desert shade trees. On the branches of an ironwood, cicadas screech into the hot afternoon. Today, 95% of Lancaster's water is captured rain.
We have not had a substantial rain since the end of December. And here we are in July, and I am still drinking, cooking, bathing with rainwater. I still have a little over a third of my tanks full. I think that's pretty good.
Even Lancaster's kitchen is outside, the sink hooked up to his 1,000-gallon tanks. He pours me an ice-cold glass of filtered rain.
Gotta stay hydrated. All right.
Thank
you. There you go.
It's delicious. It's perfect.
We are creatures of convenience. So I make sure that my rainwater faucet is the easiest to access. So I incentivize myself to do the right thing.
So can I ask you, and I don't mean this question to sound flip or anything.
Yeah.
Why do you do this? Why do you live this way?
Yeah, so I want, I grew up here in Tucson and I saw the water situation steadily get worse. So I saw our groundwater table continually dropping. The city was sinking due to subsidence, pumping the groundwater out from below, and seeing the death of the Santa Cruz River and other springs and whatnot, it's like, man, I don't want to be part of this problem. I'd rather be part of the solution. So instead of ever taking more, not only from our own aquifer groundwater table, but also from the distant Colorado River and its watershed and groundwater, you know, we already killed one river, the Santa Cruz. Why should we contribute to killing a much larger river now?
You've been doing this for years, so you've seen a crisis in the water situation long before, frankly, most people did. How are you feeling now?
I'm definitely distressed because I don't see people waking up and taking significant action. As the reservoirs of Lake Mead and Lake Powell are dropping very fast, people are still bickering about who should conserve water and they're trying to get water from elsewhere. My frustration is, why do that if we can't first take care of what we already have? Not even talking about the rivers. More rain falls on the surface area of Tucson in an average year of rainfall than the entire population of Tucson consumes of municipal water in a typical year.
So you're saying the problem could be solved, you know, in theory, by living the way you live, by just catching the water.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. If people are freaked out, like, well, I don't want to go as far as that guy. Let me take it this way.
Because it might not be for everyone.
Yeah. What I'm promoting is let's make rainwater our primary water source. That is our free on-site water. And let's only use the groundwater and the Colorado River water as a backup source, you know, as a savings used in times of need, not the primary water that we're withdrawing around 24/7.
You know, do you think that people in Phoenix, lots more people in Tucson, are going to have to start thinking about living this way?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But if you start now, while you've got all options on the table, you've got time to learn. It becomes easier.
But it's still a lot of work, and the tanks cost money. I can't imagine all 40 million people who rely on the Colorado River ever choosing to live the way that Brad Lancaster does. Maybe most of us will never need to, but it is comforting to know that some people in Tucson are thriving in the desert, their lives untethered to the fate of a troubled river. Now, just pray for rain.